Today I want to talk to you from the topics, whose dream is it anyway? Whose dream is it anyway? Maybe you should just nudge your neighbor on the left, tell them you look all right, on my right, and then find another neighbor, tell them you look cool, and then ask somebody else, whose dream is it anyway? When you come to CRC, you will find that CRC has a clear dream. We as a vision has a dream. We dream to be in an oasis of life. It is the dream of CRC to be in an oasis of life in this city where the hurting, the depressed, the sick, the frustrated, and the confused can find love, acceptance, help, hope, healing, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement. It is the dream of CRC to feed the poor, to clothe the naked, and to take care of orphans and widows. It's also the dream of CRC to share the gospel. It's our dream to share the gospel effectively, the gospel of Jesus Christ, effectively to this city and this nation, to every man, every woman, and every child starting in London. It's also our dream to welcome a tithe of the city into our fellowship. It's our dream as CRC to welcome a tithe of our city as members into the fellowship of our church family, loving them, learning, teaching them, laughing with them, and living in harmony together to fulfill God's vision for us. It is our dream to develop mature Christians. It is the dream of CRC to develop every incoming member to spiritual maturity, to minister to them, to the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, through life groups, seminars, retreats, Bible studies, and the Bible school for all our members. It is the dream of CRC, and if you remember here, say amen. Don't sit here and don't say amen. It's the dream of CRC to equip every member, so that they can be significant in ministry, helping them to discover their gifts and talents as God has gave them. It is the dream of CRC to build beautiful and suitable facilities, to build facilities that is practical yet beautiful, to design them to minister to the whole person, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and socially. These facilities will include a worship auditorium, seating thousands, recreation facilities, a Bible school, several fellowship halls, administration facilities, and even a school. It is the dream of CRC to plant new churches. It's our dream to plant several daughter churches every year, nationally and internationally. It is the dream of CRC to have our own facilities. It is our dream to have a farm with rehabilitation facilities, industry warehouses, orphanages, and old age homes, and several community centers throughout London. It is our dream. We have a dream. As CRC, we have a dream. We have a beautiful dream. We have a great vision. I believe the vision of this church is straight from the throne room of God. I believe that it is our vision. Not believe, it is our vision to build one church in many locations nationally and internationally. But in this vision, we have a dream. We have a dream to become all that I just shared with you. In Joel chapter 2, 27, if you have your Bibles here, follow with me. It says, "And you shall know and understand and realize that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord your God, I'm the Lord your God, and there is no one else. My people shall never be put to shame, and afterward I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Even upon the men servants and upon the maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of our Lord comes." Friends, God is speaking. He's saying, I will be in the midst of them. When you have a vision from God and a dream from God, you need to know that God promised and prophesied in the Old Testament that He will be among His people. You have to know that God is with you. God is among us, and God is doing something phenomenal in and through us. He says that they shall never be put to shame. A few things that God said. He said, I will be among them. They shall not be put to shame. They shall receive my spirit. The Bible says that God, when He comes into your life, He will give you His spirit. He said that they shall prophesy. They shall dream dreams and they shall see visions. God promised that when he comes among his people, what will happen is they will receive his spirit. When they receive his spirit, they will start to prophesy. They will start to dream dreams and they will see visions. The reason why you have the Holy Spirit is not to give you a goosebump. There's a purpose of receiving God's Spirit. When God's Spirit comes upon you, the Bible says he will change you into another man. So your life needs to change into something new when the Spirit of God comes upon you. When you have the Spirit of God, the first thing that will be evident upon your life is that you will prophesy. You will speak to those things that be not as though they are. You will create your future by your words. The Bible says you will dream dreams. You will be seen as a person that has a different, that is different when it comes to their lives. You went through life like a headless chicken, but now suddenly things are aligned. Suddenly things come in order. Suddenly people can see that you have a fresh dream and fire for life. They will see that you have a vision. They will see that you have a vision. They will see that you have a vision. Do you have a vision for your life? I tell you, when you come to God, this is one of the greatest things that you will do. He says, I will give you my spirit. You will prophesy. You will dream dreams and you will see visions. And when you come to God, this is exactly what God does. He gives you his spirit. He gives you a vision and he gives you dreams. But there's some area that God wants us also to move into, and that is to prophesy to our future, to create our future by our words. The same spirit that created the world is living in you. There's certain things that God will do, but certain things that he left to us to do. Five things God wants for his people. He wants them to know that he is among them. He is among them. The greatest weapon Satan can tell you is the lie that God has left you, that there's a problem with you. Listen to me. God, Satan will use very kind means of people and things to tell you, oh, that God is not with you. No, God is among you. God is with you. He says, if it's my people, I will be among them. God is for you and not against you. God wants to see his church grow and God wants your life to grow. God is among you. God is with you. He is there. The Bible says that he wants you to know that he will give you his spirit. His spirit is not for a goosebump. His spirit is not to get you to feel better about yourself. His spirit is there to change you into another man, to get you to do what he has left us to do here on earth. He says they will prophesy. They will speak to dead things and they will come alive. They will shape their future by his word. Number four, he says his people will dream big dreams. Now, how big is your dream for your life? Because if you have a big God, you need to have a big dream. If your dreams are not scaring you, then there is a problem. The fifth thing he says, he wants his people to have a great vision for their lives. I've said it before. When you come to God, God gives you a vision. I have found that many people would say to me, Pastor, but what is... I don't have a vision for my life. Well, you have a church. And this church has a great vision. And he has a huge dream to see it accomplished. The Bible says, Jesus said, that you should not worry about anything, but that you should put him and his kingdom first, and all things will be added to you. If you do not have a vision for your life, or a dream yet for what you want to accomplish through your life, I suggest that you embrace God's vision and God's dreams, which he would give you when you are part of his church. When you come to CRC, you need to know that we have a vision. Our vision is to build one church in many locations, nationally and internationally. And for this church in London, it is to have 1 million people in one church. That is a huge vision. None of you in this place can say that you are dreamless or that you don't have a vision. God has given us a vision and God has given us a dream. What is a vision? A vision is a dream with an end. A dream without an end is just a dream. But a vision is a dream with an end. You have a vision to multiply your home cell. There has to be a multiplication date. You have a vision to do this in 2016. There has to be an end to your dream to do this in 2016. A vision is a dream with an end. How does a godly vision come to pass? Through people having the Spirit of God. Through people having the Spirit of God. Through people having God's Spirit to prophesy God's word. How will your godly vision or this vision for our church and for CRC come to pass? By everybody having God's Spirit, and then by everybody using God's Spirit to prophesy to the future. Through people dreaming big dreams, embracing the dream that God has given to them, and through people having a great vision for their church and for their lives themselves. God made a promise when He poured out His Spirit on us. He says, the signs will be that His people will prophesy, they will dream dreams, and they will see visions. Dreaming, prophesying, and seeing is so important for success. Successful people all over the world are people that dream dreams. They are people that prophesy, and they are people that see the future. God wants us to be successful, family. He wants you to be successful. But the spirit that God has given you is not a spirit of timidity. It's a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It's a spirit where you need to start becoming what God wants you to become. Dream dreams. Prophesy to your future and see the future in a different way. I have found that successful people, they dream dreams. They see the future differently, and they always prophesy to their future. They always speak from not from where they are, but where they want to be. Negative people do not speak that way. The reason why some of you have the life that you are having is because of what's coming out of your mouth. I have found successful people, saved or unsaved, knowing God or not knowing God, they dream dreams. They don't stop dreaming dreams, but they also prophesy. They speak as if they are already there. Then they see the future in a different way. They see it as if they are prophetically seeing into the future. This week I had the privilege to go with Pastor Ut to Planet Shakers Church. What a wonderful conference we had. But I spent 2 days solidly on a plane. Meaning, there's a lot of watching movies and spending time with God because I was a little bit closer than today. So as I traveled, I found I watched a movie of Steve Jobs. Do you all know Steve Jobs? He's the founder of Apple. You have an Apple phone here, Apple iPad. Anybody that doesn't have an Apple, put up your hand. Can we just get anybody, just pray over them so that God will lift them up and give them a better future? Apple, Luca, listen, let me just tell you. All other stuff is handsets for less privileged people. Apple is godly. You would see that Adam and Eve, they ate from the apple. When you look at the apple, there's a chunk out of it. Amen? So I'm an Apple fan, as you can imagine. What I want to say about Apple, I lost my way. But anyway, I found this movie so inspirational because it's described to us the man that had the vision for Apple. And one of the key things that caught my attention was the fact when he wanted to launch the Macintosh, the computer. And everybody said to him that it ain't going to work. And that they need to put the focus on the other products, but he knew where he was going. Everybody else shouted him down, it's not going to work, we're wasting money, we're making money there, but we're spending it here, we're making money here, it's not going to work. But he pushed, and at a certain point he said, I know it's not going to work. The reason why it's not going to work is because technology has not caught up where I want to go. Woo! He had all the reason to be negative like everybody else complaining, but he knew that if he worked now, somewhere along the line in time, technology is going to catch up, and what he did there is going to come into being here, and it's going to create the future. So many of us complain. There's certain things that's not going to work now, but you cannot allow people to stop you from planning here for what God has showed you what's going to happen in the future. And along the way, don't be negative. Don't speak left. Speak life. Start to prophesy because the future is going to come. Successful people dream. They prophesy and they see the future. It is so important for success. You have to become successful because God wants you to be successful. Some of the most successful thing people in the world do successful things daily. The first thing is they keep on dreaming. Then they learn how to prophesy positivity into their dreams and into their future. And they see the future through a prophetic eye. They don't see the future as doom and gloom. They see the future as bright. We as the church should see our future as bright. If you read the book, God says that you are in the winning team. When you study the Bible, you find a man like this called Joseph. You study his life, you find Joseph was one of the most successful. Can I have my monitors up, please? Joseph was one of the most successful men of his time. He went from the pit to the palace. He went from being a jailbird to being the prime minister of a country. He went from a dreamer to a ruler. Why was Joseph so successful? Joseph rose from a slave to a savior of a nation, and all because he had a godly dream. He had a God with him, and he kept being positive in every situation of his life. In Genesis 37, can I have my monitors up, please? 37 verse 3 to 11, it says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his brothers or any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly my bundle stood up and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king one day? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. Listen, I have had another dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked. Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Friends, Joseph was anointed to dream. The reason why God wants you to know that he's with you, has given his spirit to you, is he wants you to be aware that you are anointed to dream. You are anointed to prophesy. You are anointed to make the vision come to pass. But Joseph was also hated because of his godly dreams. A few things Joseph did to become successful. Number one, he dared to dream dreams. He dared to dream dreams. The second thing is he shared his dreams. The Bible says over here that he shared his dreams the first time and his brothers hated him. Well, it doesn't take much to know that people hate you. You can feel it. You can see it. You say to them something like, I'm now preaching to some of you, and I can feel there's no love. You just don't like what I'm saying. So it doesn't take much for you to know that people like you or dislike you. You can just walk into a room and you experience warmth, or you can experience, no, they just tolerate me. So the first time, I tell you today, the first time he shared his dreams to his brothers, immediately I will tell you today that he knew they didn't like it. But he dared to share his dreams. Number three, Joseph worked on other people's dreams till his one came to pass. You want a dream for your life? How are you making other people's dreams come to pass? You know, we are so selfish as the church. That's why Jesus needs to get rid of us and fill us with him. Because we all come to Christ for ourselves. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. It's for myself. So I come to Christ. Now I'm with him. And when I'm with him, We make everything about us as well. Your life is about you, your dreams for you, your vision for your life, instead of about Him, His vision, His dreams. Make it about us, my dream, my vision, my life. What about His vision? What about His dream? Whose dream is it anyway? Listen to me, because many of you will come to Christ, but you settle for your life, your dream for a bigger business, your dream for a bigger house, your vision to do this. And the last thing is God's vision, God's dream. My question to many of you here today, whose vision is it anyway? And are you helping to make somebody else's vision come to pass? Joseph's dreams were according to God's purpose. You need to remember that the dream that you should follow should be according to God's purpose. Number five, Joseph loved God and stayed true and faithful to Him. When you are following a dream and a vision, it's your responsibility to stay faithful and true to God. Stay faithful and true to Him. What made Joseph successful is that he stayed faithful not to the dream. He stayed faithful to the one that gave him the dream. He stayed true to the one that gave him the dream. When you dream big dreams for your life, make sure that they are according to God's purpose for your life. Remember that when you dare to dream, not all people will like what you are dreaming about. A lot of Christians today will stop you from dreaming because of the reaction, and they stop dreaming themselves because of the reaction they receive from people when they share their dreams with them. But that should never stop you to dream a new dream and to share your dreams and to have a big vision for your life. Don't let the dream stealers steal your dreams. Now, it's the dream of CLC to have a tithe of a city in a church. That's why when I took over the church, or had the privilege to take over the church a few years ago, in a prayer meeting, God asked me sovereignly, can you trust me for 1 million people? Now, I knew that it was the dream for CRC to trust God for 1 million people, but it wasn't a revelation. It wasn't a reality. It was something that I dreamt and heard about. And then God comes and He made it real to me by asking me, Tabu, can you trust me for 1 million people? Suddenly, the dream came alive. It was not just words that were shared with me. It was something that happened in me. Now, where I want to take you is the following. Then you start to meet people all over the world. You meet generals of generals. You meet pastors and pastors' lounges. And one of the questions, when they are dreamers and have great visions, that's what they will ask you. What's your dream and what's your vision? They are successful because they dream and have visions. Many times I caught myself falling over my words. What's your vision, Tom? What's your dream? Well, sometimes I would say to have 1 million members, but then I look at the response. And they've been running for the Lord for many years. They don't have 1 million. So who are you? I know. Then all I see is that. And then I caught myself when they asked me to water down my dream. To make it 10,000. 5,000. Because I was so worried about their reaction. Instead of daring to share my dream. Will it come to pass? That's all up to the Lord. I'm going to give it my best shot. And then the Lord wants to rebuke me. And He said to me, whose dream, Tabu, is it anyway? If it's you or yours, then be shy for it. But if it's from me, then dare to share your dream. I want to ask you today again, whose dream is it anyway? Family, you have to remove yourself from dream stealers in your life. God had to remove Joseph from the dream stealers, his brothers in his life, to help Joseph achieve his dream. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 3, it says, "For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words." Friends, I want to tell you today that to achieve our dream as a church will come by much business and painful effort. It will not come easy. The easy part of a dream is the dream itself. The rest will come through much business, much activity, much doing, and painful effort. It is not going to come easy to become an oasis of life to the city. It's not going to come easy to keep on planting churches, keep on establishing new campuses, keep on training up leaders. It's not going to come easy to keep on feeding more people every year. It's not going to come easy to keep on making disciples. It's going to come by much activity and painful effort from all of us collectively together, making the dream possible and seeing the vision come to pass. Reaching our dreams as a church will only come through all of us being extremely busy working on the dream with painful effort on everyone's side. My question to you today is the following. Whose dream is this anyway? Is it Pastor Art and Aretha's dream? Is it Tabu and Karen's dream? Is it the dream of CRC? Or whose dream is it? Whose dream is it? Whose dream is this to have a million people in one church? Whose dream is this to see your friends and family to be saved? Whose dream is it to see your colleagues being saved and serving the Lord in the church? Whose dream is it? Whose dream? Whose dream? Whose dream? Is it Pastor Art's dream? Tabu's dream? CRC's dream? Or is it God's dream? You have to answer that question for yourself. Whose dream is it? If it's God's dream, then God will bring it to pass. Whose dream is this? Is it God's dream? You see, family, God is using His church to accomplish His dream for this city and this nation. God used Joseph to accomplish His dream for His people and His nation through the dreams of Joseph. Whose dream and vision is it to save the city, to save this nation, and to build the biggest and the greatest church in this city and all over this nation? Whose dream is it to have a vision to save all your friends and all your family and to see them serving Jesus? Whose dream is it? It's God's dream. But you have to know when it's God's dream, God will use you like He used Joseph. He'll give you the dream. Because God wants to ultimately use you to see that His dream and His vision come to pass. You see, too many of us say that it's God's dream, but we don't take it for ourselves. I want to challenge you today to answer the question for yourself. Whose dream is it to save the city? Is it Pastor Tabu's dream? No, it ain't. It's God's dream. Whose dream is it to build great churches? Is it CRC's dream? No. It's ultimately the Father in Heaven's dream. And God is going to use you and me. It is Jesus' dream and His vision to see that the above happens. To see that we become the church that He wants us to be. But why are so many of us treating this vision and these dreams with contempt? Not giving it our best. There's few things that you can learn from Joseph. Joseph, yes, he became a successful man. But ultimately, God used Joseph to see that heaven's vision and heaven's purposes and heaven's dream ultimately came to pass in God's people and in God's nation. In Ecclesiastes 5, 7, it says, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity, but fear God." You can communicate the dream of this church through many words, but in that can be vanity. if we lose what it's about, to fear God, to fear Him, to know what is this all about? Why are you coming to church today? Is it for you or for Him? Why are we worshiping? Is it for us or for Him? Why are we dreaming to be in an oasis of life? Is it for us or ultimately for Him? It's ultimately for Him. The dream is His. The vision is His. So we cannot but give our best. We cannot try to become like Joseph. That's why Joseph's story is here, not to show you how to become successful in your life, but how to become successful in God's life, in your life. So many people use this to tell you how you can become successful. So all Christians become successful in their lives instead of successful as a church. Too many dreams and too much talking is not going to help us to achieve our dream and accomplish our vision as a church. It's a time for us to stop talking and to start working even harder on our dream. Our dream is written down. It's on paper. It's on tablets. It has an end. And this makes it a vision to achieve the dream. And family, you and I, we need to plan like never before. We need to go back to the drawing boards and draw roadmaps and plans like never before to achieve our dreams. A dream will not come pass easily. It will come pass by much activity. What got us here is not going to get us there. A vision without a plan to achieve it is a dream without an end. It's just a dream. I want to share with you a few steps of to receive our dream. One, Joseph received the dream. When you become a member of CLC, you receive a vision and you receive a dream. You are adopted into a great vision and a great dream. You don't have to look further for a vision or a dream. Just embrace God's, and I promise you, sooner than later, you will find a new vision and a new dream for your own life. The second thing is Joseph shared his dream. It's time for us to share the dream of CLC to as many people as we can find. So many people should know that there's an oasis of life where they can come to, where the sick can be healed, the depressed can be delivered, those who are hopeless can receive hope. Joseph's brothers planned to kill him. The moment you start to share a godly dream, people ain't going to like it. You're going to receive opposition. So you need to know that people will try to destroy you. The enemy is going to come like a flood against you. If it's not people, the devil will come himself through his angels, bring depression to you, get you to be late for church, don't want you to get to church, no prayer meeting, no having a relationship with Jesus, get yourself busy with all kinds of stuff, tell you that you are active, but you're not effective. Joseph was mocked for his dream. You're going to be mocked for your church's dream. What's the dream for your church? We want to do all this and this and this. What's the vision? We want to build one church in many locations. We want to see 1 million people coming into me. What? You guys are nuts. You're going to be mocked. If they mock Jesus, they're going to mock you. Joseph was ripped of everything because of his dream. You find that Joseph was loved by his father. He had favor with his father. And he had favor with God. And his father loved him so much that he gave him a special robe. And when Joseph shared his vision with his brothers, they hated him so much they wanted to kill him. And one day they throwed him into a pit. But before that, they ripped him of everything. They throwed him into the pit naked. From the pit, he went into slavery. From slavery, he went to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, he went back to the prison, again into slavery. But they ripped him of everything. In the journey to accomplish God's dream, there's going to be some stuff that will be ripped from you. Your time. Your finances for God's purpose. Maybe a holiday that you were planning, but your home cell is not ready for you to leave. I'm just talking. You're going to feel like stuff has been ripped from me. You are losing. Just imagine this man. He's lost, losing everything. His brothers, which supposed to love him, froze him into a pit. But in Joel, God says, with the scripture, it says that God is among us. When God's hand's upon you, he's with you in the pit. He's with you when you get ripped. He's with you when you become a slave. He's with you every step of the way. Stay and know that God is with you. Joseph ended up in the pit because of his dream. Some of you are in a pit this morning because of God's dream upon your life. Your finances might be in a pit. The relationship might be in a pit. Your work situation isn't in a pit. Know that God is with you in that pit. If you follow God's vision and God's dream for your life, he is with you in that pit. Joseph was also sold into slavery because of his dream. That didn't stop him from being faithful and true to his God. Joseph's father and his brothers mocked him because of his dream. Again, Joseph was sold into slavery when he went into Potiphar's house. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Just got out of the pit, out of the slavery, went into Potiphar's house. The Bible says he became faithful in everything that his hand touched. So faithful that Potiphar made him ruler of his whole household. The Bible says only thing Potiphar had to worry about is what he was going to eat every day. The rest, Joseph took care of everything. At the height of Joseph's faithfulness to Potiphar, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. I want to share with you something about Joseph. Joseph was so true and faithful to his God. That's why he was true and faithful to Potiphar. If you ain't faithful and true to the men of God God placed you under, you ain't faithful and true to your God. Joseph was faithful and true towards his God. It showed in the man that he served. The vision that he served. The Bible says everything in Potiphar's house became so successful that Potiphar knew that God was with him. Then seduction came. Potiphar's wife accused him falsely that he raped her or tried to rape her. In the meantime, she wanted to have sex with him. But he was faithful to his master. He said no. Why could he say no? Because he was faithful to his God. Number one. Why can you say no, Christian? Because you are faithful and true to your God. If you ain't faithful and true to him, you ain't going to say no. Again, Joseph was ripped of everything. The Bible says when he ran out of Potiphar's house, she grabbed onto him and ripped his cloak from his body. You're going to be faithful in situations in your work and your journey by fulfilling God's purpose and dreams for your life and his dreams and purpose for the city. And some people are going to accuse you falsely. Seduction will come. The world is going to flirt with you again. God wants us to become the Josephs, successful in every situation, accomplishing God's dream and God's vision for this city and this nation. The Bible says Joseph was faithful in the palace. He was faithful in the prison. After Potiphar's house, he was thrown in the prison. As he landed in prison, the Bible says he had favor with the warden. Suddenly, in the time, he was placed in charge of the whole prison. How faithful are you with that what God has placed in your hands? You're a home cell leader. Are you faithful to see that home cell multiply, people grow, people get involved? You are in the lights ministry. Are you faithful to make it the best ministry? You are in the kids ministry. Are you faithful to make it the, you are serving the pastor or a pastor. Are you faithful to make sure that all that pastor needs to worry about is what he eats every day? Do you want to become successful like Joseph? Go from the pit to the palace? From a dreamer to a ruler? Then you need to stay faithful to your God, number one. Stay true to your God, number two. And be faithful in everything God placed into your hands. I believe firmly, like my pastor always says, every pastor needs a prison. You want to do great things for God? You need a prison. There was a time in this church's history, can you believe it, where there was only a one-man band, a man in van. In the mornings, I picked up all the sound equipment, drove, put it into the van, drove to church, offloaded, set up, then break down. Afternoon drive all the way to another campus, set up, break down. Therefore, today I hate white vans because it was my prison. Oh, I want to change the world, God. But I was stuck driving a van in London without a GPS, with an A to Z. I don't know if you would even know what I'm talking about. Having the A to Z on the steering wheel and then flip where you want to drive. Because if you don't drive like that, you ain't going to get to the destination that you wanted to be. It was frustrating. It was in the pit, in the prison. I thought my life is never going to change. Some of you see the pastors with the mics. You don't know the journeys. You think that we fall from heaven. You think it is just favor. Oh, I like that life. Well, you know, I like what Jesus preached, working one day on a Sunday. The rest of the day, he's just hanging around, praying, fasting. I like that life, man. I just like that life. Where were you when I was in the pit? No, it wasn't my prison. There's not a lot of Josephs anymore. Because all of you want to rule and all of you want the mic. But none of you want to be in the pit. And when you are in the pit, you run because where's God now? He's still with you in the pit. He wants you to be in the pit. There's a pit season for all of you. If you don't stay faithful to Him and true in the pit, you ain't going to get out of the pit. There's a prison season. Joseph didn't go from the pit to the palace. He went from the prison to the palace. It's a road of preparation. For so many of you that you want to skip. Microwave. Put it in 5 minutes out. Come out of the pastor. Come out of the world shaker. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Whose dream is it anyway? I look at some of you serving God's dream. You ain't going to get there. By the way you serve God's dream and God's vision. You want your own things? You're going to get your own things, but it's going to take you away from God's vision and God's dream. I want to challenge every one of you here today. Whose dream is it anyway? Are you making God's dream come to pass in this city and in this nation? Or is it still about what you can get and your life and your ways? What about Him? Whose dream is it anyway? Whose vision is it anyway? Joseph stayed faithful and true to his God in all that he did. The Bible says he made a success of Potiphar's house. He made a success of the prison. In the prison, he helped somebody else achieve their dream. The baker and the cupbearer came to him and had dreams. They couldn't understand the dreams. Joseph gave them the explanation of the dreams. And then he said to the cupbearer, when you get out, don't forget about me. And you know, like most Christians, when they get what they received, they forgot those who got them there. Some of you need to never forget the men of God and the woman of God God has given you. You treat them in contempt, like just like you treat God with that same attitude. There's people in your life that God has placed you, destiny relationships that God has hooked you to. And you need to honor those relationships. You need to stay true to those relationships, because otherwise you're going to stay there. You're never going to become a world shaker and a history maker. How faithful are you, CLC? How faithful are us to see God's dream and God's vision gets established in this church, in this city, in this nation? Whose dream is it anyway? If you are here for Tabu, you're going to miss it. If you're here for CLC, you're going to miss it. If you don't realize today that it is His dream and His vision, you're going to miss it. So easily in church and what we do, we get so caught up in us. It's great to serve. It's be involved. Stay for services, but stay for Him. Amen. Become part of a ministry. Yes, shoot, but do it for Him. Amen. Give your tithes and offerings faithfully. Why? For Him. Amen. Do it for Him. Do it for His kingdom. Do it for the people that will come in the future and get saved and delivered and receive eternal life. Amen. Many of you are here today because of other people's faithfulness and trueness when it came to giving. Amen. Serving, praying. Many people that went through pit scenarios into prison scenarios for you. Whose dream is it anyway, Pastor? Home cell leader, member. It's God's dream. Amen. Let's stay faithful to what God has given us. If God gave you a home cell, build the biggest, greatest home cell. If God has given you one person to disciple, disciple them faithfully. Stay true to God and stay faithful to Him. I want to challenge you. Every church service, every prayer meeting, everything we do as a church, never forget it's about Him. The vision that you are part of, whose is it anyway? It's His. It's your Father's, heavenly. And He entrusted it to us. How wonderful is it to know that God has given us this wonderful vision, these wonderful dreams, and He says, make it happen. Yes. Amen? Amen? Make it happen. Make it happen. It's going to come by much activity, friends. We want to go places. We want to do bigger things. It's going to take much bigger work. Amen. More time. Greater sacrifice. Nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. Your home cell will not just grow. You're going to have to put in the hard yards. You have to do what other people are not prepared to do. You're going to have to get back to the feet of Jesus. Fast for a week for every member. I know that you don't want to hear this. Nothing, it's just going to happen. Whose dream is it to change your life? It's the Father's. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You today for Your word. Thank You for the church. Thank You for every person that's in our lives. Thank You for this great city, this great nation. Thank You that You gave us such a great vision and such wonderful dreams. And Father, I thank You that I know that You want us to succeed in everything that we do. You want us to become successful. You want us to become a Joseph or Josephs in a generation that will ultimately save a generation and a nation. I pray that You will speak to us like no man can today. Help us to align ourselves again, realizing that it is Your vision and Your dreams. And thank You that You trust us so much. That You know that if we work with You, we will see this godly vision and dreams come to pass. And thank You that You said You will add all things to us as we seek You and Your kingdom. I pray for more of You, Lord. I pray for every person that is here today that You will enlighten their thoughts. That You will give them a new perspective of what we are busy with. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that is always ready to help us up, to dust us off, and to empower us to prosper. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have the blueprint of our lives, of our church, and of this nation in your hands. Lord, help us to be more faithful and true to you. And thank you for the opportunity we have to be a blessing to this city and to this nation. May your kingdom come, may your will be done. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. As you close your eyes, I want to ask you a personal question. You might be here today for the very first time. You might be coming for a while. But as I preach, you realize your life is not right with God. If it's maybe you that's here today and you say, Talbu, I'm not sure that if I die today, I go to heaven. Maybe you just know that you don't have a relationship with God. You're not right with Him. And before we go today, the most important question I can ask you is, do you have the assurance of eternal life? Because the Bible says God puts before us life and death, and He tells us to choose life. And today I want to ask you, don't you think it's time to come to God? Don't you think it's time to make right with Him? Maybe you are here today and you have tried many things to change your life, but nothing happened. I want to tell you today that 2,000 years ago, a man died on a cross for you so that today you can change your life. The Bible says if you can believe, you can be saved. And if you are saved, God gives you a new hope and a new future. He gives you a new life. If it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Talbu, that's me. I need to make right with God. I want to have a relationship with Him. I want Him to come into my life. I want to have the assurance of eternal life. Then I ask you, can I please pray with you before we go today? Let us leave here together with Jesus in our lives. If it's you that I'm talking about and you say, Talbu, that's me, I want to ask you to quietly just slip up your hand and show me my hand if I can pray for you.
Amen. Good morning or afternoon. I want you all to look up to me. Listen. This is your day. This is your hour. Now everything, excuse me, look up to me. Don't have to look down. The devil wants us to look down. You've got nothing to be ashamed of. This is your moment. Everything that's arranged today is for this moment for you guys to reconnect with God. God knew that you're going to make this decision today. All I'm going to do is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer where you can connect with Jesus. Because above everything, the most important thing is to be born again. The most important thing is to allow Christ to come into your life and change your life. And that is going to happen right now in this moment. So I want to put you at ease. No man can get you to make this decision. The Bible says it's only the Spirit of God. That means you've just heard the voice of God telling you to come back home. So I want you to put your hand on your heart, to close your eyes and just pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for today that you spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today. And I ask for your forgiveness. Right now, I receive it. Thank you that I know that you love me. Thank you for Jesus. I believe of all my heart that He's your Son, that He died for me, so that today I can have life. Father, use me for your glory in your church, in this city. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.